Wasn't that, don't you enjoy Wednesday night and worshiping? I feel like I haven't spoken in like forever. I did not. Thank you, hon. Amen. Second here, I want to have a little time just to pray for any prayer needs. Okay, sound good to you guys? Lori Mark that spoke the last couple of weeks, and wanted to thank Lori Mark, and heard you did an awesome job, Lori. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Amen. Good stuff, huh, Mark? So, any prayer needs? I want to, before we start, I'd like to pray for anybody who has specific prayer needs that we need to pray for. I know I need to pray for my father-in-law. His health has not been good. I got a brother-in-law in the hospital with guess what? Give you one guess what he's in the hospital for. Funky Wuhan? Yeah, that's what I am. After my experience. Anyway, so he's in the hospital. Just a young, I mean, 42, 43 years old. Good health. But he's trusting in the Lord. One thing I noticed about Mike, his name is Mike. He's been here to church before, and he gave his heart to the Lord, you know, let's say a year ago, but just never really pursuing the Lord. It's like it hasn't connected. He'd come up here and a few times, and he'd be sleeping more than listening, right? But I notice, I'm not saying it's because of, God made him sick, but I noticed that during this time, he's like, told his wife, my sister, bring me a Bible. Bring me clean clothes. And so he's been reading the Word of God, and he's not become, you know how some people can start saying, why is this happening to me, Lord? Why is this happening? He's saying, Lord, no, he's reaching out saying, Lord, heal my body. Lord, restore my lungs. His lungs are at 25% right now, and they're not getting any better. But they're going to. Any other prayer? Who has a prayer need I need to write down? We can pray. Isaiah, has he been sick a little bit? Okay. So, Isaiah. Anybody else? Yes, David. But what's her name? Does she know the Lord? So she's like ready to pass away. I pray for her family. The two chiefs in the back, you got any prayer needs? What's that? Brenda, your daughter. Anything specific or just prayer? We'll pray for Brenda. Yes, sir. Reggie. You guys know Reggie? He's in hospice. Okay. Now, when I've talked to Reggie, Reggie's kind of, to me, like said, don't pray for my recovery. I want to go home. Yes. So he's living with his daughter. Right up the road from the McPhersons, if you know where they live, on Road 1 South. Yes, Earl. Okay, you praying that everything will be clean bill of health for Earl. You got it, Earl. Mark doesn't need any prayer. He just retired. Yes. Jesse Ann. And there's just so many right now in our body that need overall just prayer for healing, don't we? Andersons. I just, if my brain would allow me, I could just go on and on. Karen Ayers. Mike Rose. The runners. Yeah. No. I've been texting him, and he said, yeah, right here they sit. Jim and Olive, but also complete healing from Mrs. Corbett. Forgive me. But man, Mance. Her husband, too. Very much so. The Harrises. John. Yes, they've been sick, too. Barb. Sylvester. Yeah. Coming through, and everybody's going to be healthy and move on. Prayer. Ben Diaz. Yeah. I like what he said. He says, I'm not a good host. Did you hear? You weren't here, so you missed. You can hear it online, though. It was really good stuff. So sickness, and so Father, if we could just pray, if you don't mind, stand, if you're able, willing and able to stand up. I like to say some are willing but not able, others are able but not willing. Amen. So Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you as a group together, praying together. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers, Father, and we just remind ourselves of the benefits, Father. I think of Psalms 93 that, and Lord, and Psalms 103, and about sickness not coming near your dwelling, Father, about you healing all our diseases, Father. And so, Father, we thank you for those right now that have been very sick with whatever you want to call it, COVID or flu or whatever. And Father, we just declare and speak healing over their lives right now in Jesus' name. Father, I speak that over my father-in-law, healing over his lungs right now in Jesus' name. Father God, over little Isaiah, that he would be completely touched right now and healed right away. Thank you for your hand of grace and protection over Isaiah in Jesus' name, Father God. I pray for that shop volunteer, Father God, who's getting ready to pass away right now. I pray that you comfort that family, Lord. I pray that family, if there's those that don't know you, will come to know you, Lord Jesus. I pray for a miracle there, Father, and salvations, and people's hearts being touched, Father God, for Carol, in Jesus' name, Father God. I do pray for Reggie, though, right now, Father, dear brother, and Lord, I just pray for your comfort upon him, your power and your strength to surround him, Lord, as I've spoke to him, and he says, I want to go be with the Lord. He's told his family that, and he's made those arrangements. So, Father, we put Reggie in your hand, and we just pray that this during this time that his heart will be comforted, his soul will be comforted, that, Lord, that he will experience peace like he's never experienced in his life, Father. Surround him with the peace that passes all understanding in Jesus' name, Father God. Earl, for his test results, Lord, we're praying for a clean bill of health in Earl. So bless Earl. We speak that to Earl. Thank you for Earl's life, God. We thank you for Earl. Lord, touch him and strengthen him. And Lord, may those test results be good. For I think of Jesse Ann healing in her lives. I think of the Andersons healings, Father God. All the different names of the people that are ill right now, we just pray that you would strengthen them, Lord. We pray for quick recovery in Jesus' name, Father. No lingering effects, but all of us have been sick. We ask, Father, for a quick recovery, Father. A clean bill of health in our own hearts, Father God, completely recovered, healthier than before. And Father, for some of us that need to maybe change some of our habits, Father, health-wise, help us, Father God, to be maybe eat better, maybe get more rest, different things that we may need to change in our lives. Lord, your spirit can speak that to us. So we thank you for wisdom in our lives. Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you for all of those, Father, in the church and our community here in Chino, so many people, Lord, the development services, the whole department was completely closed last week because of people being sick. You couldn't even go in to get a permit. And so we thank you for healing our town officials and being with our police and our firemen, Father God. We thank you for blessing our community, Father, Chino and Prescott and Prescott Valley and Dewey, Father, the Quad Cities, Father. We thank you for touching people, Father. We bless you and honor you right now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Bob, Father, I just pray for Bob's daughter. I'm sorry. Yes, Bob, my apologies. Father, this parasite, we curse it in the name of Jesus. We command it to go in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you'd bring a healing to Brenda's physical body with this parasite, Father, that these things would go in Jesus' name. Bless Brenda. We bless Brenda from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, Father God. Her soul realm, that you would bless her soul realm and bring peace, Father God, to her mind, her psyche. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Father. Amen. Sometimes in today's world, we need a touch in our psyche, don't we? From day to day. Trusting the Lord, you can be seated if you'd like to. If you were here Sunday, did you enjoy Ben? You remember his wife, Kara, before? Wonderful people. I've been looking forward to starting in the book of John for several months now that it was scheduled. And once again, Lori Mark, thank you for speaking on spirit, soul, and body. It was awesome. He'll be speaking more on that, spirit, soul, and body. But I'm going to be in the book of John. Who wrote the book of John, by the way? But, you know, they don't know for sure who wrote the book of John. See, let me just say, I'll just start. I'm just going to get right into this and see what we can do. I'm in my introduction. This is session one of the book of John. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Emily. John is after Luke. Right before the book of Acts in the New Testament, Emily. It's in the New Testament. I'm just having fun. Don't, at your expense. My apologies. My apologies. So the Gospels, you know, you get the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, right? Tell a story of the life of Jesus. Yet only one, the Gospel of John, claims to be an eyewitness account, by the way. The testimony of the unnamed disciple, and it was called Whom Jesus Loved. And I'm going to get into this tonight. I'm hoping that, Lord Jesus, help me to communicate this. Lord, what you want to say to our hearts, Lord, I pray that we'll be here. The fellowship is great. The food is outstanding. But, Lord, I pray also that you just feed our hearts. Lord, tonight that there'd be something that would land on our hearts that you want to encourage and speak to us tonight. Amen. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So, as far as who wrote the book of John, earliest Christian documents say Apostle John wrote the book of John in Ephesus. You know, a lot of these disciples, we think about them being in Jerusalem, but a lot of them actually were scattered to the Jews in the surrounding area and even Asia Minor. That a lot of them didn't always stay in Jerusalem. As they were being persecuted, they had to flee. John being one of those who ended up in Ephesus when he wrote the book of John. A gentleman named Polycarp. Do you guys know who Polycarp is? Do you? I figured you did. So Polycarp was like the next generation after Apostle John. And Polycarp sat under John and said, he had written saying that, yeah, John wrote that epistle of John. He's the one that wrote it. I know for a fact that he wrote it. So even though we don't have anything that, you know, that says within the book itself saying, I, John, like we did in John the Revelator, right, in the book of Revelation. He doesn't start out saying, I, John, am writing this. No, John doesn't doesn't identify himself that way. And as we get into this tonight and see how far we go, it's amazing. It's absolutely powerful how John identifies himself in the book of John. How does he do it? Five different scriptures we'll look at. One, two, three, four, five, I think maybe six. No, five, I guess. So how does John describe himself as he's writing? Now, we know the Holy Spirit, right? He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So every word being true, every word being accurate, everything what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear, at least through John in the book of John. So if you look at John 13, 23, first time that John identifies himself saying, lying back on Jesus' chest was one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Isn't that amazing? That so we're going to find out that the person who wrote this book is identifying himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't identify himself as the disciple who loved Jesus. He doesn't say that. Isn't that interesting? We'll get to that point. He could have in religious realms, and many times in our own lives, wouldn't we write it that way? The disciple who loved Jesus. After all, we want to prove our love for Jesus, don't we? And we need to make sure that we love Jesus with all our heart, and seems to be the focus. Lord Jesus, I want to love you more than I love the world. I don't want to be a lover of the world. I want to love Jesus. But John starts out identifying, saying, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's amazing. And John had a revelation. It's interesting, in the book of John, love is mentioned 22 times, the word love. Doesn't seem like a lot, but he uses the word love 22 times. The book of Luke uses the word love 12 times. Matthew uses the word love 11 times. Mark only uses the word love 6 times. So in the book of John, John uses the word love almost as much as all the three other epistles, or those gospels, I mean, combined. John using the word love. Even in the book of Romans, it uses the word love 12 times. That's a big book, isn't it? Book of Romans, 16 chapters. An awesome book. But it uses the word love 12 times. And then John, who wrote 1 John? We know John, right? In just 5 chapters of 1 John, John uses the word love 33 times. Isn't that amazing? Did John you think he had an understanding and a revelation of what love means? Do you think maybe John's understanding of love goes beyond just like, I love you, you love me, we're one great big happy family, right? His understanding of what love really means, after all, he uses it 33 times in 5 chapters. He uses it more in the Gospels than almost all of them combined just in the book of John. And then he has the audacity in John. I'm going to go to John 13, 23 again. Lying back on Jesus' chest was one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. That was at that Last Supper, wasn't it? Leaning into Jesus, saying the disciple whom Jesus loved. And as we look at this, as many times as John used this particular phrase, I'm going to go through in the Bible just to give us a foundation of John. What's the most known scripture in all of the New Testament? Isn't it John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 19:26 says, so when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. So it didn't say, so when Jesus saw his mother, he turned to John. John doesn't say it that way through the scriptures. He says, once again, he says he turns to the disciple whom he loved. If you think about when Jesus was dying on the cross, everybody had scattered, everybody had ran, everybody had deserted Jesus except who? John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the only one that had the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual fortitude, the maturity to stay there at the foot of the cross, even though he did not understand what was going on. But I think it had something to do with his love. And then Jesus saying to John and to his mother, saying, "Hey, take care of my mother, John." Could have asked any of the disciples, but he asked the disciple whom Jesus loved. Let me ask you this, didn't Jesus love all the disciples? I mean, didn't he love Peter? Didn't Peter preach the first message right after Pentecost? Wasn't Peter the man? So maybe it's not that Jesus loved John more than those disciples. It was that John understood that love. He understood that love and what it means. And we'll look at some other scriptures if we get there, that how John must have understood the relationship he had with Jesus and what it meant. What it meant when he would say this phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Let's go to the next one. It's John 21 and 2. John 21 and 2. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already removed from the tomb." This is when Jesus had risen from the dead. "So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." There's that phrase again. Now we're three times in the book of John. "The disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him.'" So once again, John identifying himself, kind of seems maybe a little prideful, Mark, the disciple whom Jesus loved, amen? It almost sounds like I have a position that's that the others don't. And you know, in a way he did, but it had nothing to do with Jesus loving him more than the others. And everything in him understanding God's love for him. Isn't that amazing? How about, does he do it again? Yeah, let's go to John 21, 6 and 7. "And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find the fish.' So they cast it. And when they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea." And so now we see that it's been four times this writer of the gospel identifying himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Did you realize that he said that many times? But he's not done yet even. He's not, but wait, there's more. John 21, 20. And it says, "Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his chest at the supper and said, 'Lord, who's the one who's going to betray you?'" So now 5 times scattered throughout the book of John, the writer identifying himself. He didn't identify himself as John. He identifies himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then in John 21, 24, it follows up there. And it said, "This is the disciple who is testifying about these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." Amen. You know, it's interesting because he didn't identify himself as, "Hey, let me tell you how much I love Jesus." And as I began to read this and as I started looking at other scriptures, I think the biggest thing in our lives to be successful, to grow in God, is realizing that we're a disciple whom Jesus loves. I've said it before when we first got started, that religion, or we can find ourselves trying to prove and show the Lord and show others how much we love God. After all, doesn't it say to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Didn't it say that? But then here's John who's doing the opposite of that, because if we read later on chapter 1, we know Moses brought the law, but Jesus Christ brought what? Grace and truth. That even while we're yet sinners, Christ, who loved us, amen, died for us. So John's saying, hey, I'm identifying that. I'm the disciple here. I understand his love. And what does it mean to understand his love? Or what is love even? You love husbands, wives, children. We love to go out and eat. But I want to read and ask the Lord to, Lord, identify. So what was it that John was identifying with there? If he kept saying, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved, well, what's that mean? That Jesus was giving him an extra good assignment every once in a while? Well, what was Jesus doing differently with John than the others? I don't think anything. I don't think Jesus was playing favorites. If he had favorites, might it have been Peter, right? We know about Peter. So what was it that John was identifying something that had to do with what love is God's heart. God's heart towards him. As a matter of fact, it's the same heart that he has towards you and I, amen? When you think about walking with the Lord, do you think about how much he loves you? Or do we a lot of times find out or are worried or struggling thinking, Lord, how much do I love you? And I know it's important that we love the Lord, right? He put that in us, but I think we can't understand even walking or loving the Lord unless we understand what John was saying here about the disciple whom Jesus loved. Can we get some hints of what that might mean? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Are you guys familiar with 1 Corinthians 13? So you're going to be past Acts and Romans. 1 Corinthians 13. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus wasn't playing favorites. What was going on? Amen. It was something that John realized that the others maybe didn't realize yet. God's love for him. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, if I speak with the tongue of mankind and of angels, but do not have love. Now, did it say show love? Do love? No, it says not have love. Have not love. If I speak with the tongue of mankind and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I love speaking in tongues. I don't know anybody else here that speaks in tongues, but I love speaking in tongues. But it says here, if I speak with the tongues of mankind and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It means there's no value there, amen? There's no value there, just a clanging noise. It's not accomplishing anything. And it says in verse 2, it says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Isn't that interesting? Because I love to speak about faith that moves mountains. I love to declare mountains in my life being moved. How about you? I love the gift of prophecy. I love what the power of prophecy can do in an individual's life. But yet it goes on to say here, but if you have love, do not have love, I am nothing. I am nothing. Isn't that interesting? Nothing. And if I give away all my possessions to charity, don't you like to be a giver? Man, I love the principle of sowing and reaping, being a giver. We know from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 that God is a rewarder of those that are givers. God loves a cheerful giver, it says. Amen? So there's nothing wrong with giving or being a giver, but Paul, in this point about love, it says if I don't have love, if I can give all I have, my possessions to charity, verse 3, and if I surrender my body that I may glory, but do not have love, it does me no good. But it goes in to what love is. And so what I correlate with that is when I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves, it made me realize as I was reading this and preparing for this that John understood what love was. He understood the character of Jesus. He understood that when he was saying, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved, it means a bunch of things. It means I understand. It's been revealed to me by his spirit what his character is. Because doesn't the word of God say God is love? So what was John seeing? What was John seeing except saying this five or six times, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved? This is what he was seeing from Jesus being revealed in his life. How do we know? Because it says, verse 4, love is patience. So he had an understanding and a revelation of God, Jesus' patience. And because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, John had a peek into God's world and realized, you know what? God is patient. He is patient towards me. God, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. And what love means, first thing is God is patient towards me. Aren't you glad that God is patient towards you? God loves you, and the first thing I want to say right now is God's patience towards you is amazing. Rooted and grounded in love. Love meaning more than just, I love this boy or girl. It's what love means. First thing it says, love is patient. John seeing the patience of Jesus as he was walking with the masses. His seeing the patience towards those that even opposed him. And God, him seeing God's patience towards him as he's trying to figure out all these things that Jesus is declaring, and he keeps speaking to them in private and them not quite understanding. He's saying, man, he is patient towards me. You realize how patient he is towards you and I? Thank God. Has his patience ran out on us yet? No, because he loves us. And what's love mean? We can have different ideas. If I stood us all up here in a row and said, hey, you guys, give me your definition of love, I bet you we have quite a few different definitions. What do you think? Oh, we'll have some things that I'm sure we'll agree on, but do we really understand what love is? First, it says love is patient. It says love is kind. He says, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. He says, I'm the disciple whom Jesus' kindness was displayed to. As he saw God's kindness to him, as he was raised in the law, and so that was the letter of the law. What did Paul say? The letter killeth, but the spirit brings life. He was seeing something in Jesus of the Father that he couldn't imagine. His patience, his kindness towards him. Could you imagine basically saying that I'm the disciple who Jesus has poured out his kindness? I see his kindness. I see it displayed as he's ever so patient and kind with me. This love that he has towards us is more than just, it means so many different things. The patience, he says, he's kind. I see his kindness towards me and to others. And then it says it's not jealous. Jesus loves to see the success of his people. He's not jealous. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He rejoices. He rejoices in your life. He rejoices in you being a success. He rejoices in you walking in his power, you walking in his gifting, you walking in his blessing. God loves that. The world is jealous when others are successful. So John is seeing this man who claimed to be God, and he realized he's the Son of God, and he's walking with him. He's seen this perfect spirit in Jesus, a love that not being jealous towards anybody else, showing perfect love. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not jealous. Jesus was rooting for John. John could see his heart. Love does not brag. Wow, that's a tough one. In the world, does the world like to brag? He saw Jesus, the maker of this world, not here to lift himself up, but to lift the Father up, to lift those that were sick around him, those mentally tormented. He wasn't there to say, hey, man, I got it all. Everything he had, he was giving away. John saw something in him. He's like, he couldn't believe his God's kindness, his words. Not bragging, he could see that his mission here was to help others. Not having to lift himself up, but okay to lift others up as brothers and sisters in Christ and being contrary to the world, rejoicing in others and what they accomplish. That's love. Being okay when others are doing things or accomplishing things, and you might be saying, when's it my turn? But rejoicing in your brothers and sisters, that's love. Jesus wasn't bragging. He loved to see those around him being healed, those around him catching on, and eventually Jesus says, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these. Isn't that amazing? What is love? Love is patient. He saw God kindness. He wasn't jealous, wasn't bragging. It wasn't arrogant. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient, obedient even to death on a cross. He laid down all his splendor, all his majesty, amen, that you and I may become kings and priests. John, who said, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved, he says, I saw what he was doing. I saw that he wasn't arrogant. I saw that he was here to lift others up. He didn't boast. He didn't brag. He wasn't arrogant. He humbled himself. And that really was true love, that as he poured into the disciple, John wasn't just seeing God's love. He was seeing all the different characters of God. And he says, he was pouring his character into me. He was pouring his life into me. Goes on at verse 5, it says, it does not act disgraceful. It does not seek its own benefit. As Jesus poured into John, everything that God poured into him, this love, is the reason why he was at the foot of the cross, not understanding what was going on, but still there. He stuck by Jesus because he knew he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. As God poured into all these different aspects, all these different characters of what love means. You know, what's love mean to you? Are you the disciple whom Jesus loves? It's an understanding and allowing God to pour that into you, understanding that all his kindness, all his patience, him being for you and not against you, all of that is rooted in his love. That's what God wants us to see. What we end up doing, if the devil can trick us, is spending a life trying to prove our love for God and never understanding the different character benefits of being the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John seeing that, rooted and grounded in the Spirit of God. Somehow John was able to put aside his upbringing as a Jew and the strict adherence to the law. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And in that John 1, we'll read later, where he was able to say, Moses brought the law, but Jesus came with grace and truth. The truth of love, what it means. It's the care. If God is love, all these different characters that God has, his kindness, his patience, his goodness. Well, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness. The fruit of the Spirit? That's who God is right there. That's exactly what love is. Everything that we have right there that God has given us as we change little by little his love. His love allows us to overlook the shortcomings of others. It allows us, even in our struggles and mistakes, to say, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. I am the disciple who God favors. It sounds arrogant when you hear him say it. Wouldn't it kind of in itself saying, hey? But actually, it's just an understanding of his grace and truth when he says, Moses brought the law, Jesus brought grace and truth. Amen? Love, it also said, is not provoked. It does not keep an account of wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And in the last verse it says, But now faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. So opening up this thing, understanding John's understanding of love. You know, they say that John was the only disciple of the 12 that wasn't a martyr. Did you know that? So the most plausible theory of John's death, by the way, states that John was arrested in Ephesus and faced martyrdom when his enemies threw him in a huge basin of boiling oil. Wow. However, according to the tradition, John was miraculously delivered from death. The authorities then sentenced John to slave labor in the mines of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. On this island in the southern part of the Aegean Sea, John had a vision of Jesus Christ and wrote the prophetic book of Revelation. The apostle John was later freed, possibly due to old age, and he returned to what is now Turkey. He died an old man sometime after A.D. 98, the only apostle to die peacefully. They also say that when John would go to the, he was so old that they would have to carry him to church. They didn't have any wheelchairs then, I guess. They would carry him to church, and before they would start the service, they would allow John to say one thing. And he was so old, he would just say one thing. Guess what he would say? Little children, love one another. Did John have an understanding of love? Father, may we have an understanding how much you love us. Religion says you've got to prove your love for God. But man, when we realize the different aspects of what love means, man, we'll do anything for that, for the Lord, because we'll understand his love that he already has for us, that we're not working for. John didn't have it. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know from up from down. He thought Jesus was going to destroy the Roman Empire. He thought a lot of things. There was a lot of things he didn't understand, but that one thing he understood, what? I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. So, Father, I thank you for a revelation in our lives of how much you love us, regardless of the past. Lord, that we would understand the different aspects of what love means, your patience and kindness, your goodness towards us, your faithfulness towards us. Lord, that you're crazy about us. Lord, that such a deep love that you have for us, if we could even comprehend a little bit, Lord, how much would it change our life tonight? How much would it change our confidence in you? How much would it say that I don't have to have these other things that are nagging at me, the things of this flesh that keep nagging at me? We could just say, I don't need those. I am secure in his love. So, Father, I ask this as we go this evening, Lord, that your spirit would start to churn in our hearts your love for us. Lord, what your goodness towards us. You're protecting over us. Even in the Old Testament, the scripture says that he sings and dances over us, twirls over us. Could you imagine that in the Bible? How much he loves us for that. And then giving his very best from heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for revelation of it. Bathe us and wash us in it through your Holy Spirit, Father, and understanding. And then it comes out to others, not out of trying to prove ourselves, but knowing who we are. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.